Morning.
Good morning.
Thank the Lord he's blessed us with another week. Amen. Able to be here and fellowship together. Going to continue to head toward work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Trying to lay this foundation while we go that way. And of course, you know, last Sunday we started with Genesis 1:1, so that's a long way to make a foundation if you're headed toward the New Testament. But I do thank the Lord for another opportunity to open His precious Word and study it and talk about it and discuss it and all the blessings. And if you don't study God's Word every week, you're missing a great blessing. That's all I know to tell you this morning. But I do thank the Lord for the opportunity again to be with you. And ask you to bow with us, and then I don't have any idea what we're going to do this morning. We're just going to start and go. We'll let the Lord push the buttons and go where He says go. So, Lord, again today we come with thankful hearts, as we do each and every time we gather. Because we know that you gave us breath and strength to rise this morning to be able to come and gather in this, your place of worship today. And Lord, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that walks with us and guides us daily. And Lord, I'd ask you today that as we come before you, that you'd help me, Lord, as I open your precious Word, that you would walk us through it in accordance to your precious will. That those things that we say this morning would be truth from your precious Word. And keep us out of it. And Lord, let it be thus, saith the Lord, may we learn and gain knowledge, be drawn closer to you and appreciate and be thankful for the blessings of life more today than we were yesterday. Lord, totally dependent on you, totally trusted in you, and totally knowing that you will fulfill every promise that you ever promised to us. Thank you, Lord, that we know you as our Lord and Savior. Thank you again for your precious Word. Bless this gathering now and the further exercise of this day. And may you be exalted and glorified, and may you be humbled and thankful for what you've done for us and are doing for us. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as we begin this, we've got some memory verses, so to speak. You know, it says in John 4:23-24, it says, God is a spirit, we must worship him in spirit and truth. And that's where we're headed to as we look at this series of worship. Then we also found in Isaiah 4:3-7 that everyone that is called by my name, he said, I've created them for my glory. So man's created, we are a creation of God for his glory. And I got one more verse I want to read to you this morning that I want you to think about too. And we also found that in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that all the glory to God, and it says Christ is an example of the one that magnifies the Lord, and we should be like him. Now in Timothy, 1 Timothy, the second chapter, and read just a couple of verses. I've been thinking about the message that Brother Billy has been bringing to us and making us think. It's been a great message to think how thankful we should be and how blessed we are. Verse 10 in the second chapter, first verse, he says, I exalt therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So what do we do? We pray one for another. We do intercession. We give thanks. He said, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Boy, we're a long ways from that with our leadership today, aren't we? And we're in a turmoil because of that. Now, look at the verses I want you to look at. It's the next two. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So what is God's will? Who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, last Sunday as we begin, we're going to go back to Genesis now. And we're going to go to the second chapter. And we're going to look again at the creation of man. And some things that God did in the process of it. And something that I had never seen before, never really thought of before, as I studied and looked at this, that I want us to pay close attention to. Now, when you look at Genesis, the second chapter, what it is a summary of, or more input on what happened in the first chapter. Now, we talked about the fact that we talked about Lucifer and him being the prince and the power of the air and all those things last Sunday. We came up to the point now of man. Question for you this morning. Had you ever thought about why God created man? On this earth. Now we're looking at God that can do anything. But why did God create man on this earth? And then I want you to look this morning as we look at something in the book of Genesis in that creation. And there's another why. Now we're not questioning God's abilities, nor are we questioning God's plan. You know, when an architect comes up with the design of a building, he makes a drawing of it. He plans it from foundation to the finished product. He also, and if you did what I did in the heat and air, you had specifications. So he has drawn a book of specifications. And they're your guidelines to go by. And he tells you what to do and when to do and how to do in the process of completing the project that he has so designed. And that's what we see this morning. It's God's plan. It's God's design. But now, as the architect is not the one that builds the building, he's the one that draws the plan. He's got a multitude of people that work on that building to complete it according to his plan. And you and I this morning are part of a great plan of Almighty God. And he had a purpose in that plan that he laid out in Genesis 1:1 when he created the heavens and the earth. He also had another great plan when he introduced mankind on that earth that he has created. So let's look at a few things this morning and look at a couple of questions. Why did he create man on this earth? There's another great question I never thought about in this. Have you ever thought about why did He create us like He created us? You say, what are you talking about? Body, soul, and spirit, ability to think, do. Why did He create us like it is? Why did He give us the ability to know good and evil? Think about those things for just a moment now. Now, we're fixing to go back to when God created man. And we're going to look at a few more details than I've ever looked at it before in that creation and what God did. So go back with me now. We go to the second chapter of the book of Genesis, and you, if you've been in church very much in your lifetime, you can quote this without looking at it. It says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed in the nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Okay, we've talked about that. But now let's go some details for just a moment. In verse number 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, we know that if we go back and we look at Genesis in chapter number 1, he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the cattle and over all the earth and over the creeping thing that creep over the earth. Then it says, 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So he has created both man and woman. Okay? Along with everything else. Now here's this man that we see in chapter number 2. He says that he's done what? He has planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man. Now he has designed a special place. God has just created the universe and all everything there is in the universe. He brought it back that it might be inhabited by man. And now he's ready to create man, and he's created man. And he says all those things, if you look in that creation and forming process, he said every day when he did it, he said it was good. And when it comes to the sixth day, he said everything was very good. So I said to myself, why did he plant a garden eastward of Eden? Why did he plant a special place? A man, a man special to him. That's all I know to tell you. He's special, he planted a special place. But I want us to look at details of that place and what God said and what God told Adam as he did. And the Lord God planted the garden in Eden, and he said he put the man there, which he had formed. And it says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food. Comma. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So now what do we have? We have a garden that God planted, a special place. We have now everything growing into that, out of the ground in that garden that Adam and Eve will need for survival. But there's also two more trees in the garden. What are they? There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there is a tree of life. Now, I want you to look at something. You back up with me for just a moment and look at verse number 29 in chapter number 1. And the Lord God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth. So here now what God has given to suffice man, okay? This is his way of food products. And then he said, And every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. They were vegetarians. But that's not the picture. The picture is this. When he planted a garden eastward of Eden, he made to grow out of the ground every tree that would plentify and good food. Okay, that's what he just told us in chapter number 1 and verse number 29. Everything was good for food. Now we come to the Garden of Eden, and we have that same thing said. But then he says, there are two more trees in the Garden of Eden, and one of them is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Is that tree of knowledge of good and evil, is that good for food for Adam and Eve? Well, we know what that answer is, don't we? We know that's no. Question number one. Now, look over while we're talking. Look over at verse number 15 in chapter 2. And he says, And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to do what? To dress it and to keep it. So he gave him a job to do. That reminds me of Lucifer, the Morningstar angel, when God, I think, put him in charge of the earth when he created it. We know what he did there. My question now is this. Why not questioning God? I'm just putting a question before you this morning. Why did God, in the Garden of Eden, perfect Garden of Eden, put a tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You ever thought about that? Why did he just not leave that out? If he had left that out, Adam and Eve would not have had anything to be tempted by, would they? And we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in today. But God had a plan. Now, God could create you and I any way he wants to create you and I. And guess what? He did create you and I just exactly like he wanted to create you and I. And he gave every one of us the ability to know good and evil. He has given us, every one, the ability to do something. And that is bring glory to his name. What have we just read? It's God's will that we all be saved. We all bring glory to his name. But he did not make us, and you've heard me say this many times before, a puppet on a string. He wants you to love him because of what he has done for you and how he's blessed you and how he has saved you and I, if you know Christ this morning, from an eternal hell and from Satan himself. And it was his desire that when he created us, that he gave us the ability not to love him or to love him. And he wants us to love him. But something happened somewhere prior to man being created And that thing that happened when Lucifer did his thing and was cast out of heaven. And from that day on, between God and Lucifer, there has been a battle. And guess what? You and I are right in the middle of it. So why are you and I here? Why did he create mankind? Why did he put mankind on this earth? Why did he plant the Garden of Eden? Why did he put man in the Garden of Eden? Why did he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden? One reason. To prove his power to Satan. You say, he can prove his power to Satan a whole lot of ways. Yeah, he can. But hey, when he put somebody like you and I in the Garden of Eden and set a tree of knowledge in good and evil, he set a stage right then. Now, let's look at a few things as we go on. In chapter number 2, in verse number 16. And the Lord did what? He commanded. Here's a situation. If he had not put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in there, he would never have given the command, would he? So he has put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden, so that he might give man a commandment. And that commandment is, you be obedient to me. He gave him a commandment, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest what? Freely eat. This is a commandment from God. You can eat everything in this garden, and you can freely eat. Eat it. And I put you here to dress it and to keep it and eat whatever you desire to eat in this garden. But verse number 17 starts with the word what? He said, but what? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. You shall not eat of it. For if you do, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, does God lie? No, sir. So here is the obedience part. And here is the whole picture in a nutshell. I have put man. Now, what do we say? Let me read something to you. Well, either we'll read it now or read it later, I guess. In Ephesians 6, in case you have forgotten, let me remind you of something. And I want you to listen to the strength in this now. Chapter 6 and verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to those of us who have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. We are his children. We are his brethren. And he said, be strong. And be strong in what? He says, if you're strong, you're going to be strong in the Lord. And you're going to be strong in the power of his might. Not in your will and not in my will. Not in your strength and not in my strength. But it's in his will when it comes to his work. Then he says, you put on the whole armor of God. Now, why in the world do you put an armor on? If you dress it up in armor, what are you fixing to do? You're fixing to go fight like the dickens. And you're trying to protect yourself in the process of it. Now, he's told us to put on the whole armor of what? God. That's the armor that we put on. He says, put on the whole armor of God. that, look at the wording, that you may be able to do what? To stand. What are you going to stand against? You're going to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is that plain enough for you? You and I in a battle. We're in a fight. The only way we're going to win this fight is through what? What does it say in verse number 10? He says, in the strength of God, in the power of His might. That's the only way you're going to win this battle. So arm up and let's go. You're in a fight. And that fight started where? It started in a garden eastward in Eden. That's where it started. Now go a little bit deeper in this verse in Ephesians. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But what do we wrestle against? Principalities and powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness in high places. Does that sound like some little weak nobody? Satan has a great power and ability to bring hurt and pain. Now, let's go back to Genesis again. And let's go back to the second chapter of the book of Genesis. Boy, I'm only going to get started this morning. He said, but a tree of knowledge, good and evil, you don't eat. Okay? Now we know that we're going, it talks about forming Eve and all those things and how he did it, but he did it. Remember, he said back in chapter number 1, verse number 27, he created Eve and he created Adam. Okay? But let's come down now to chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, don't ask me about this serpent. I don't know. It's just, I cannot explain all this. It said it's more subtle than what God just made. All I know is that whatever it was and wherever it was, the devil did, like he always does, he dressed it up to look real good. And that's all I know to tell you. So we know the story. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden. Now, you think he don't know what's going on too? See, you'll not find anywhere in the verses prior to this that it talks about Satan. Well, how'd he get here? He was here in chapter number 1 and verse number 2. He'd been here all the time. He just makes himself known here. Because there's a battle between God and him. And he will never stop until God casts him into hell. He wants to be the all authority. He wants to be greater than God himself. He wants to be like God. And when we look at Revelation, he is a copycat because he's got three too. Satan, false prophet, and beast. God, Christ, Holy Spirit. By the way, before I forget it, I need to, anybody know what the, and I'm not a country music singer, but anyhow, or listener, or whatever. Anybody know what the number one song in country music is today? Huh? Anybody? What? Walk My Walk. You look it up. Number one, country music chart in November of 2025 is Walk My Walk. And it's an AI. tell you anything? You go to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation and you look where the beast made an image. Right. And what did he have that image to do? He come alive. And he made everybody to worship the beast. It's real easy with AI. What have we seen with AI? One step closer to fulfillment of God's plan that we're talking about today. Here's a beast. I mean, a serpent. The devil's not changed. And we know he talked to Eve, and we know the story of all that. Now, in verse number 5 of chapter number 3, for God doth know. Wait a minute now, who's talking? The serpent's talking. Who's the serpent? He's a product of the devil. And he says what? And God doth know. You think he don't know something too? And he said, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. Now, he was telling some truth here, all right. He says, your eyes are going to be open, and you shall be as God. It's going to make you greater than you can imagine. Notice that's a little G in that. Knowing good and evil. Now, he said a mouthful of truth right there. But how does it work? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Look at all of the things it's going to do for. We have a hard time with our pride, don't we? Then she took, and they did eat, and their eyes were opened. And then God appeared on the scene. Speed up the process a little bit. Now, never thought about this, but I want you to look at the sequence in the next few verses. It says, Adam heard the voice of God walking in the garden in verse number 8, and the Lord in verse number 9 called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid. So what has that brought? They didn't know what fear was before, but they're fearful now. And who are they fearful of? They're fear for the God that they have been fellowshipping in the garden with, walking with him daily, communicating with him. Now, I don't know how that communication goes. It says no man's ever seen God. Here it said the voice of God. That's a whole nother topic. He said, I was afraid, and I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, here's why I want you to look at these next few verses, and maybe I can do this before my time's up. And I want you to look at them very carefully, and let's look at some order. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree that I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, is it the fruit that give the problem? Is the fruit of the tree of knowledge good and evil the problem? You know, I don't know what kind of fruit it was. They talk about apple, whatever they want to say. It ain't the fruit to give the problem. What gives the problem? I command you that you don't eat of it. That's the problem. You break the command of God. That's what gets you in trouble. You break the command of God and you do something that he tells you not to do. And there's where the problem comes. And the man said, boy, he's not changed, how he? The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat, so it ain't my fault, it's her fault. I'm as good as the one next door. I'm as good as that Christian that lives down the road. I watch his life. He don't. I'm good as he is. Lord, I hope that's never said of us. I hope that your life shows something different than a regular person's life. The man said to the woman, "Who told thee?" Now, and the Lord said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." He made it look so good I couldn't stand it, so I ate. Now look at these next verses, folks. Never thought about this before. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now, who sinned in the Garden of Eden? We know Adam and Eve sinned, right? But who does God address first? Who did I say this fight was against, with? God and Satan. God and Satan. God and Satan. And he addresses that serpent first. And he says, because a judgment. And this is your judgment. I don't know what that serpent was, whatever the devil come up with. He can paint pretty pictures. But now I want you to look at the next verse. He says, "I will put what? Enmity between thee and the woman." Now who is he addressing? He's still addressing the serpent. And he says, "I'm going to put some enmity in here." And who is it going to be between? It's going to be between the woman's seed and your seed. So it's going to be between the devil and all his seed of demons and angels. And it's going to be between the seed of the woman. Well, who's the seed of the woman? Where do you think you come from? We all came from Adam and Eve, right? But there's a special seed in this too. Because we get a little bit deeper into this, and then he talks about the seed. He said, "Thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head." Satan, you're going to get crushed in this before it's over with, old boy. "And thou shalt bruise his heel." And what do we see in this? We see Calvary. And we see our Savior. And so we see the bruising that he took for you and I. But I look on beyond Calvary, and I see old Satan one day stand before God. And he looks at him and says, "Bow your knee, boy." Yep. And he bows the knee. And then he says, "Just truck on down here to your home. And that place is called hell. I know who's victorious in it." But there's a whole lot of hurt between here and there. Now what I want to do, I'm still laying a foundation. We're still headed for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, whether y'all believe me or not. And I don't want to get into it now. But I'm going to give you another, Lord willing, next Sunday I'm going to give you another great example of what I'm talking about. In the battle that we're in. Because of mankind's sin. God bless you and thank you for being with us today.